Pastor and his family. I pray that you would fill Brother Jimmy Stewart with your Holy Spirit this evening. I pray that you would give him the words to speak. I pray that that you would lay the truth and power on his heart this evening and help us to be edified by what he preaches to us. And I thank you so much for all the soul winners and all the soul winning that was done today. And we just we pray that you continue to bless our church and put a hedge around every family and keep us safe. And we love you, Jesus, and we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, good evening, y'all. I'm Jimmy Stewart. It's very, very, man, it is so great to be here, be able to preach. And I just want to thank Pastor Shelley for the opportunity to fill in. And I got a good sermon for you tonight. Hopefully, it'll edify you a little bit. And we read there in Joshua 1, but turn real quick to Psalms 126. I want to lay out here, there's kind of this biblical principle when it comes to preaching. And it basically goes, when you throw a rock into a pack of dogs, the one that yells the loudest, that's the one that got hit. So after this sermon, the person that complains the most is probably the person that needs it the most. All right, so I just wanted to kind of lay that out first. Let's do a quick little kind of foundation here. You know, the Bible is a mix of spiritual, physical, and also mental things, verses. And it kind of moves between the three of these, you know, zones all the time. And a lot of times people get mixed up on these things. And obviously the most important is the spiritual aspect. You know, what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world but lose his soul? So the spiritual is obviously the most important thing. But we got to realize that what we do physically and mentally, it affects us spiritually. Now think about it. If I steal something, that's in the physical, right? But does that affect me in the spiritual? If I said that right, it's in the physical, but it affects me in the spiritual. How about if I tell a lie? That's me physically telling a lie, but it affects me in the spiritual because I've sinned against God. How about an easy one? How about if you commit adultery? Is there any physical consequences of that? Yes. There's also spiritual consequences. There's mental consequences. So as we look at our sermon tonight, we're going to focus a lot on the physical and the mental, but I don't want you to think that I'm overlooking the spiritual at all. The spiritual is the paramount. But I don't want to forget about the physical and the mental as either. There's kind of some classic verses on this kind of moving in between these different areas. Things like 1 Corinthians 6, where your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So your physical body is the temple of the spiritual Holy Ghost. Or Romans 12, present your bodies as a living sacrifice. And really, people go south on this really quick. And kind of the main way they go south, I think, is in 1 Timothy 4:8, where it says, bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. That's kind of this go-to for kind of like, hey, don't try to lay some trip on me about getting in shape, because bodily exercise profiteth little. But in the context of that verse, let's just think about it for a second. In relation to spiritual things, godliness, yeah, bodily exercise profits you nothing. I mean, really, very little in relation to godliness. But that doesn't mean that bodily exercise profits none. You can't just say, well, bodily exercise, nothing, so I'm just going to be some morbidly obese, excessively idle, you know, person, and God's just going to bless me. Obviously, that's not true. Let's look there at Psalms 126 where you're at and kind of put this to a test as we lay our foundation here. Looking at verse 6, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now look at the three parts there. He that goeth forth, that's physical. You can't go soul winning sitting on your couch eating chips off your chest. If you could, the non-denoms would be soul winning machines, but they're not. Secondarily, you weepeth. That's a state of mind where you have love for a person. Maybe you're, you know, really, really caring about this person. So there's the mental aspect. And finally, bearing precious seed. It matters what seed you're carrying when you go soul winning. So I'm not discounting any of those. But I really want to nail in as our foundation here that what we do physically and mentally will affect us spiritually. Cool? All right. Turn to Joshua chapter 14, and we'll get into it here. The title of my sermon tonight, excuse me, I've been fighting some with my voice all week. The title of my sermon tonight is Long-Term Success. Long-Term Success. Now, the obvious longest-term success is heaven. That's the longest long-term success. And again, that's the spiritual that has to be laid down right away, that spiritually it's not about physical works, it's about faith alone, and it's a one-time decision, and once a person's saved, they're always saved. Okay, so can we just not go back to that milk? That's laid down. We're good. Cool? But as we look here in Joshua chapter 14, we have Joshua and Caleb. And if you remember, they were very successful after they spied out the land. And in fact, they were the only ones of the men 20-year-olds and over that even made it out. So I would say they were very successful. So they're a good couple of guys to look at to find kind of a biblical plan for long-term success. Okay, we're in Joshua 14. Look at verse 7. This is Caleb talking. He says, 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Okay, he's 40 years old when he spies out the land. Go down to verse 10. And now, behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and lo, I am now this day 85 years old. Now, since none of us go to public school, let's do some math. 40 plus 45. That's a real long pause. 85. Okay, so he's 85. So he's comparing here. Now, where he's 85 versus when he was 45. This is where he's going with it. Now look at verse 11. As yet, I am as strong this day, 85, as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, when I was 40, so is my strength now, both to go out, or for war, both to go out and to come in. So let's define success in the context of this sermon, being as strong at 85 as I am at 40. That's how we're going to define success for this particular sermon. Now, this kind of success, let's first address here spiritually. I don't mean spiritually when I just said what I said here, as strong at 85 as I am at 40. Here's why. I sure hope that after serving the Lord for 80 years, I'm not the same amount spiritually as I was at 40. I better be twice the guy at 85 that I was at 40. Yeah. I mean, we're talking 45 years of Bible reading and church and soul winning. If I only say, well, I'm as strong as I was when I was 40, that's like super letdown. That's plateau style. That's like you haven't grown in 40 years. But no, I'm talking about physically. And I know we don't really talk a lot about physical strength. If somehow it's kind of this giant plank in, you know, Baptist eyes about physical things. But we're going to talk about it tonight. So fine. Good. Now, this kind of success, you know, it doesn't happen by accident, though. You don't just fall into a giant pile of success. You know, you need a plan. So let's look at the biblical plan. Turn back to Joshua 1, just a couple chapters back, and we're going to look how we can be as strong at 85 as I am at 40. And this portion of Joshua chapter 1, which Brother Nick read for us, this is a pep talk from God. And let's kind of skip down to verse 5. And the Lord here says, "There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life." Can I just say for a moment, steadfast, there shall not be any man that is able to stand before you. Like, that's a promise that we have from the Lord. And yeah, they got their butts kicked at Ai in chapter 7 of Joshua. That's okay. That's not God's fault. They did that to themselves. Look, when they're following the Lord, the Lord's like, look, no one's going to be able to stand before you. And that's how I feel about our church. You can stack up 15,000 faggots out there, and no one is going to stand before us. Amen. Right. Let's continue on. He says, I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And I love these verses here. This last verse here, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. I mean, what a promise from God. And he's telling Joshua that. Well, now let's get into the meat here. The Bible's plan for long-term success. Look at verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. So point number one in our plan, our long-term plan for success, or our plan for long-term success, is we need to be strong. And yes, I literally mean physically strong, as in your muscles and your arms and your legs and your hips and your back. And I'm literally talking about physical strength. We need that. Now, where does strength come from, though? Well, strength comes from only one place, and it's called progressive overload. What that means is you add a little bit, then you add a little bit more, then you add a little bit more, then more, then more, then more, then more. And if you keep the weight the same, then you need to add more repetitions of that weight. So either one, either adding more weight or more repetitions, adds strength. And we see this in the real world for people that have physical jobs. Like, think of a guy that works for Sparklets Water. Okay, he has those 5-gallon jugs, and those are about 40, 42 pounds each. You know, the first couple weeks when he's lugging those around, they're really heavy. But then pretty soon, he kind of gets used to it, and he's kind of throwing them around, and it's no big deal. Well, you wouldn't really even call him strong because he's now plateaued, and he can haul that 40 pounds around really easily because it's not increasingly getting heavier and heavier and heavier. Right? So there's no such thing really as naturally strong. Now, that may sound weird because I'm sure you know people that are way stronger than you naturally, but the thing about strength is that it's an individual thing. It's not compared to me or compared to you or compared to anyone else. It's compared to yourself is your strength. Right? So you may be naturally, you know, strong, but that doesn't mean you are strong. If you kind of catch my drift. So strength does not come naturally. It must be trained and it must be obtained. Now, let me just do a quick kind of asterisk side note to say, I'm not talking about losing weight. Now, if you want to lose weight, great. Well, I'll give you a verse on it here real quick. Personally, I don't care what you look like. So you can look like whatever you want. I'm talking about strength. A lot of times losing weight comes with getting strong. But this isn't a thing where I'm saying, well, you need to look like the Hollywood folks. You're some sort of, you know, beanpole, blah, whatever. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about literal physical strength. Just a quick verse on food. If you are thinking about to yourself, you'd like to kind of look at this as far as how you could eat. Ecclesiastes 10:17, and I love this verse, says, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength, and not for drunkenness. So you can kind of implement this principle in your own life. Don't eat for drunkenness, which is like overeating, right? Eat for strength. Eat the proper amount. So that's just pure side note. But look, I want you to be strong for a couple of reasons. One, so soul winning will be easier for you. For getting up in the morning and reading your Bible will be easier for you. I want you to be strong also because the Lord's commanded you, be strong. Now, we need to be physically strong, and I'm not only talking to the men, I'm also talking to the women and the children. We need to be physically strong. We need to work out, exercise. We need to move more. So what's the definition of strong according to the dictionary, right? Well, the dictionary says strong is physically powerful, capable of exerting great physical force, marked by great physical power, in good or sound health. Look, we need to exercise more. We being collectively us, this time in our world, are so idle compared to what all of human history has been. And we kind of have just frog in the water, in a way, kind of landed here. And it's like, man, we're all just sitting around all the time. And I'm saying we, because this has been on my heart as well. So here's a little catchphrase. I hope you can remember this in your brain, and hopefully I'll kind of burn it in there. Don't sleep in, go to the gym. Here's a nice little thing. Now, we can start really small, and it's really important to start small whenever you start a new habit of any kind. It's really important to start small. So we have this thing in our brain where we kind of think, well, it's got to be 100% or nothing. Well, that's not really true. We can start very small, kind of add little bits to it. I think a good goal to eventually have is where you're doing some sort of weight-bearing exercise 3 times a week, and you're doing what we'd call zone 2 cardio, which is like a jog or a brisk walk, 3 times a week. This is kind of what you'd consider, and kind of fitness in general considers this as like your bare minimum. And we kind of have that same in church too, where it's like, my bare minimum is like I'm reading the Bible once a year, I'm going to church 3 times a week, and I'm going soul winning. Now, I can always do more, but if I start like sinking back from that for whatever reason, then it's like my trigger to myself to say, okay, I'm kind of maybe backsliding. I need to make sure that I get in there, and I need to make sure that I'm maintaining my minimum. It's kind of the same way with physical exercise or movement in general. We're going to talk about it here where you can set kind of a minimum and you'll know, well, I'm being a little bit lazy because I'm not hitting my minimum, right? So plainly put, let's put it this way. Do you want to be reading your Bible when you're 85? Do you want to be going to church when you're 85? Do you want to be going soul winning when you're 85? I mean, I do. And it all literally starts now, since no one's 85. I think 76 is the oldest that we have in our room. No one's even close to that. It's all literally going to start now. Now, imagine this. You are 85, and then all of a sudden, you can't serve the Lord anymore for whatever reason. Your body gives out. I mean, you've been studying the Bible this whole time, going to Steadfast, soul winning. Now all of a sudden, what? You're stuck at home for whatever reason, maybe beyond your control, maybe not beyond your control, but you're stuck at home. Now just join a Calvary Chapel and be a non-denom because you can't serve the Lord anymore. And maybe it's out of your control, but you can start working on that now. Preach the Bible. All right, let's look at a biblical connection between physical strength and Bible reading. I'm just going to read it for you. Ecclesiastes 12:12 says, And further by these, my son, be admonished. Of many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness to the soul. So look, you study a lot, your body gets weary, right? It's weary. Weariness of the flesh. Let's read that again, just so I'm very clear with it. Of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Okay, so if you strengthen your flesh, you can study more. Right, you see what I'm saying? So it's not like working out or exercising is just for no reason. No, it literally improves your everything in relation to your Christian life. Okay, turn to Psalms chapter 90. So here I've laid out this first foundation here that our long-term success specifically has a lot to do with our physical condition. Now, while you're turning to Psalms 90, 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So is there a way to hold off the perishing of our outward man? Like just hold it off a little bit? Yes. It's called exercise. It's called being strong. Now, I love this in Psalms 90. You know, this is a prayer of Moses. And we've been reading this in Joshua where Moses just died. So it's interesting that this relates to that. But look at verse 10. "The days of our years are 70 years and 10, which is 70. And if by reason of strength, they be 80 years, that's 80. Yet is there strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away." So we're talking about 10 years. So can we start now and literally for like 40 years work physically to just eke out an extra decade? And it sounds like a lot of work to just get 10 years, but what can you do in 10 years? You could see your kids get married, your grandkids maybe get married. How about this? What if you went soul winning when you're 85 and you just get one person saved a month? you'd have to start at 75. For 10 years, one person a month, you know, that's 120 people that are in heaven simply because back when you were younger, you started exercising and you got an extra decade out of yourself. And I get that being strong and exercising is it's like, I don't want to hear about that. I mean, I get that. But don't sleep in. Go to the gym. You say, well, I can't afford a gym. Well, gyms, literally, my gym costs $15 a month. And I get going to public gyms is like walking through a minefield in today's, I mean, people are so insane the way that they dress. I get it. Let me tell you a trick to that. Going at 5 p.m., no. Going at 5 a.m., you got the place to yourself, man. It is a private gym. You got no one videoing themselves, none of that. It's a bunch of guys sweating like a gym should be, right? The problem is today, people want a magic pill. See, they don't want to put that hard work in. But you know what? There's a good news. There is a magic pill. And I'm going to read the insert from our magic pill here, right? This is from the FDA. The magic pill can have immediate and long-term health benefits. It will reduce the risk of developing diseases like diabetes, cancer, cardiovascular disease, and obesity. The magic pill will also improve thinking, learning, judgment skills, reduce anxiety, and improve your sleep. It can strengthen muscles, lessen chronic pain and injury, increase your heart rate to get your blood flowing, resulting in higher energy levels. The magic pill can also keep your bones, muscles, and joints healthy, lower cholesterol, lower blood pressure, and protect your mental health. This magic pill will also improve blood flow, and it improves your married activities. Now, if we look at the insert here on our magic pill, it's pretty interesting here when you look at it. Oh, here it is. The magic pill. All those things I read are the health benefits of exercise. That literally is the magic pill. And I know that sounds crazy, but it's not. So point number one for long-term success is to be strong. I'm going to give you a couple of practical tips. And all these tips that I'm going to give throughout the sermon today, I have some handouts on the table. There's three different handouts. You're welcome to grab one of each or whatever. If I need more, I can print off more. No big deal. So some practical tips here for setting out some sort of exercise, kind of weaving this into your life, right? Set a specific goal and get very, very, very specific. Like maybe you say, I want to be able to do 10 push-ups. Like that's a great, very specific goal. And when you reach that goal, set another goal. Number two, start small, but be consistent. Three, track your progress. And number four, progressively increase. Now, let me give you I have 18 tips here that I'm kind of going to rattle off to you. This is ways to integrate exercise and health and being strong just into your life. Number one, go for a walk. I mean, literally, do you know what just walking for 15 minutes a day does for you? Like, according to the science, it's amazing. And while you're walking, you can double up and you can go over your scripture memory verse while you're walking. Your wife, your husband, the kids, everyone can walk together. Here's number two, park your car further away when you go to the store. And yeah, maybe it's 100 yards extra, but when you add that up by the end of the day, you've walked a huge amount more than you would have if you didn't. Number three, take your kids to the park and play tag. They're like an endless source of energy that will tire you out in minutes. And don't underestimate, too, your kids being involved with this, too. And I'll get to that more later. But number four, when you're at home, this is a good one for the ladies. When you're at home, go to all the preaching, to the music section, play the hymns, and dance around your house. It's great exercise, just dancing. And no one's there to make fun of you. No one cares what you look like. And you're literally just dancing before the Lord. And don't underestimate how good that is just spiritually for you to be singing the hymns, but you're moving at the same time. How about when you're in the kitchen cleaning? Anytime I'm in the kitchen, like when I'm at the microwave, this is what I do. Like, anytime I'm in a line at the store or anything, I just kind of do these little raises like this. And if I'm there for a while, I just switch to 1 foot. If you need it to heart, you can just implement that. And anytime you're standing, you're just doing these little lifts like this and you're working your calves. It's a very easy way. While you're cleaning at home, let's say you're vacuuming or anything, or something along these lines, you know, get dramatic with your movements. And it just gets the body moving and it loosens things up. And these kind of things have an effect where they build upon each other. If you're at work and you have a job, you can stand at work. I have a desk at work where it's a regular desk, but I click these little things and I pull it up and it's a standing desk. And I made myself a rule, every time I'm on the phone at work, I have to stand up. While you're standing, you can make little circles with your arms. Now, in the store, you kind of look funny, but if you're at home or whenever you're doing something, just moving your arms around, little circles. Hey, go to a secondhand store and you can get a whole box of gym equipment that someone has thrown away for like $5. Get your nice little 1 or 2 pound weights, the little tiny ones, and while you're sitting there, do 500 curls with the 1 pound weight. It's a great way to kind of double up on activities to get your bodies going. How about this? Buy a jump rope. What are they, like $1? I mean, they're super inexpensive. Your kids probably have one. Hand grip strength, the little grippers that you always see, a great way. In fact, when I walked into the men's conference and I met Samson for the first time, you know, you probably know him. You know what he was doing? He was sitting there like this, stretching his hands. And I go, oh, you're working on hand strength. I'd never met him before. I said, oh, you're working on hand strength. Then he goes, well, yeah. He's like, I don't want my hand to end up like this when I'm old. He goes, yeah, I work on my hand strength. I stretch my fingers. Why do you think the hands get all arthritic and curled in? Because they're not working them. And yes, there's a genetic component, but we're just talking in general. You know, keep your body moving and it keeps it going, right? Above all that, if you have a chair, let's get a chair here. I'm assuming most people have a chair at home. As long as I don't knock everything over here. Pardon me. Right? Okay, here's a chair. You ready? Watch this. Sit, stand, sit, stand. Now do that 500 times. You are getting exercise by literally just sitting and standing like this. In fact, they tell older people that don't have the ability to move or walk, they literally say this is the exercise for them to do. This is all you need to do. This is a great way. Uh-oh, now look. we've doubled up. On top of that, you can, you know, stand on the chair. You can get inventive is what I'm saying. There's no reason to sit around and let your body slowly waste away when it's very easy to just implement small little things. One thing, how about this, 16, do a handstand. Doesn't cost you anything. Works your arms out, very difficult to do, and it's just lean against the wall. There's something on the internet called Animal Flow. I don't know if any of you heard about it. It's kind of like a floor exercise movement thing, but it doesn't have the spiritual component that yoga has. It doesn't have that. It's just kind of replicating these kind of animalistic type movements. And I've actually really been enjoying it. It's a great exercise, and you're just on the floor, and there's a zillion videos on it on YouTube. And finally, stretching. We're talking 30 seconds per muscle group in your body will do wonders for your health. Okay, bottom line, we need to move more. We need to add time to our life so we can get more people saved. So we can earn more rewards. We need to be strong. Now, when it comes to your kids, think about this. You want them to brush their teeth their entire life, right? So you teach them when they're very young and you put that as a habit in them. And then they'll brush their teeth, theoretically, for the rest of their life. Well, if a child is taught, hey, every day we do some sort of exercise, he'll never know that that's not normal. It is normal. It's just no one else is doing it. But if you teach them at a young age, you will literally input to them or imprint in their brain that daily exercise is just part of something that we do. And then later in life, they'll keep that with them. You say, well, I don't know anyone that does that. You do, actually, because Pastor Anderson literally does this. He taught his kids from a very young age to exercise, and they exercise with him, and they go out exercising with him. And then when the couple that have moved out, guess what? They're all exercising on their own. Now for the ladies, turn to Proverbs 31. The Bible actually has a lot to say about health and strength when it comes to women. And we're going to kind of shotgun through a bunch of verses here. So they're all right in a row in Proverbs chapter 31. But I want you to notice the language that it uses and in relation to this sermon. And we're talking about, at this point, number one, strength. Okay? We're going to start in verse 13. You ready? 31, looking at 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. Verse 14, she's like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. 15, she riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. 16, she considereth the field and buyeth it, and with the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. Pause. Gardening. A great way to get exercise is planting a garden. Okay, let's continue. 17, she girdeth her loins with strength, and she strengtheneth her arms. 19, she lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. 20, she stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. 22, she maketh herself coverings of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. 24, she maketh fine linen, and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. And 27, she looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. Now, in addition, you know, a baby's health as it's growing is literally directly related to the health of the mom. Now, everyone knows that, right? Like, you don't smoke crack while you're pregnant. It's not a new concept. But it goes the other way, too, that the healthier you are, oftentimes it greatly increases how your pregnancy goes. And let me say this, as mom being kind of a central kind of person in the family, you know, a healthy mom equals a healthy husband, equals a healthy kids, equals a healthy family. And kids can be great accountability in this. You say, kids, we're going working out every day at, let's say, 6 p.m., boy, 6 p.m., when you're tired the next day, here comes little Johnny. Mom, are we going to work out? And you're like, oh, why did you remember that? So they're great accountability because they keep you accountable for this type of thing. Okay, go back to Joshua 1. Point number one, we're still on. We've only got 800 verses to go. Should be done by about noon tomorrow. Point number one, for long-term success is to be strong. You're going back to Joshua 1. Don't sleep in. Go to the gym. Move more. Make it fun. Set a goal. Be consistent. Track your progress and progressively increase. I call this filling your strength bank. Now, why do I call it that? Because after 35, you literally just start wilting away. Now, it used to be 40 when you started wilting away, but because our world is just so full of garbage on every level, now it's 35. So literally 35, and you know, in the old days you could smoke 3 packs a day and eat bacon 6 times a day and live to be 100. Now you work out and are a marathon runner and you're dead at 40, it seems like, because we're so excessively idle and we're just literally kind of withering away little by little by little. So add these little things, move more, work up to lifting weights 3 times a week, cardio 3 times a week. Look, you're going to need every ounce of strength that you can build. Then you're going to need it, not just to survive, but I want you to thrive. I want you to get strong. I want you to remain strong, because point number one is be strong. We're there at verse 6 in Joshua 1. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers. Turn to Philippians chapter 4. Point number two, good courage. And I'm calling that mental strength. Mental strength. Now, the definition of courage from the dictionary is the state of mind that enables one to face danger or fear with confidence and resolution or bravery. So it's a state of mind, it's mental health, it's mental strength. And where does strength come from? Progressive overload. Whether it's mental or physical, progressive overload. This is where mental strength will come from. All right, we're in Philippians 4. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Pause. Do you talk to God? And I don't mean do you have a prayer time set aside. I'm sure you do. That's great. We're kind of up in this game here. Do you talk to God like when you have issues? Think about Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born and a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Like, do you know people pay thousands and thousands of dollars to talk to a counselor when we literally have the counselor who's just sitting there waiting for you to talk to him? Like, when you have cares, cast them upon him. Talk to him. You know, wives, if your husband's doing something that's bugging you, talk to God about it and watch the Lord change his heart in some manner. Not because you're going to be ruling over him, but because you're calling out to the Lord. And husbands, the same thing goes with your wives. If you've got some issue and somehow there's some friction, talk to God about it. How about this? When you're in deep grief, talk to God. He's the wonderful counselor. I mean, hymn 356 is, I love that hymn. You know, I must tell Jesus. I love them. He says, I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear this burden alone. Like, the Lord gives us more than we think we can handle all the time. Now, it's not more than we can handle, but it's more than we think we can handle. And he literally wants you to ask for help. So he's like, watch, I'm just going to dump this on you. Let's see what he does. Oh, he reverted to alcohol because he couldn't handle it. Fail. Oh, pain pills. Fail. Oh, he's keeping it inside and he's girding, you know, he's gritting his teeth so no one knows that he's really hurting. Fail. Verse 7, as we continue, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, 8 to the end, he's going to rattle off a bunch of stuff, and just for time, we'll just not repeat whatsoever things are. So let's just look at this list. He says, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, any virtue, any praise, think on these things. So he's literally telling you what to think on. So if you have some sort of TV show, okay, well, it's not on this list. I don't care what show it is, right? So that, it kind of like eliminates a lot of the things that we get ourselves into because we're thinking on things where God's like, no, don't think on that. Think on these things. That's mental health when you're thinking on certain things, namely things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, virtuous, or praiseworthy. And isn't it interesting that the tiny hats that run the world literally are causing everyone to think on the opposite of all these things? I mean, think about Romans 1 and that list. You don't have to turn there, but being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder. I mean, it goes on. Those are like the opposite of Philippians 4. And yet those are the things that they push constantly. Everywhere in the world is being pushed all those things. It's like a spiritual opposite of Philippians 4. But we even have like a physical slash mental opposite in Galatians 5. He says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, and it goes on. All of these things are the things that the world promotes constantly. So you can't just like be back on your laurels and thinking that you can just kind of, you know, skip through the daisies and everything's going to be fine. You need to be very vigilant because why? Why does the world promote all of these things? I think there's a great verse on this. 1 Peter 2:11 says, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. So look, if they can't get to your soul, what do they go after? Your brain. If they can't get to your brain, what do they go after? Your body. I mean, it's a literal attack on all three fronts, constantly, just a constant attack, trying to get you away from what this says and onto what they say, whatever it is and whoever they are. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." Look, we need to protect our minds. We need to protect our ears. We need to protect our eyes. We need to protect our hearts, because stuff goes in, but it don't come out. And that's kind of one of these unintended consequences of sin. You're like, oh, I'll just go commit fornication. Yeah, you know what? You never forget that. And no matter how hard you want to try to forget it, and yes, not thinking about it causes it to go to the back of your brain and you kind of forget about it. But then one day you meet the woman of your dreams and you go to have that wedding night. And what are you thinking about? That whore from 12th grade. That's not a good situation to be in. And this goes the reverse for the women, the same exact thing. We don't want stuff to get in there because it doesn't come out. We got a list of great things to think about. True, honest, just, pure, lovely. Things of a good report. Virtuous things. Praiseworthy things. It keeps the mind sharp thinking on those things. It keeps the mind clean. It keeps the mind strong. But what about mental health in the sense of the physiological health of your brain? Like the actual brain itself, and the chemicals that go on in your brain. Well, I'm going to rattle off a couple of things here that I've searched out to find through various sources over the last couple of years, ways to keep the brain healthy. And again, this list will also be out there if you'd like to look at these things. Some of them, I'm sure, will require more explanation, and I'm happy to talk about if you'd like to ever through. Okay, these are going to seem kind of random because we don't really talk about the health of our actual brains itself very often. It's kind of one of those things we just don't talk about. But number one, cold exposure. And I'm sure no one has a cold tank that at their house virtually, but you've got a shower. And you can turn that thing from hot to cold. And literally 1 to 2 minutes a couple of times a week, like, resets your brain in a way that I can't explain in the context of this sermon, but it does good for you. And it's very easy to do. Zone 2 cardio for 150 to 180 minutes. Again, that zone 2 is like if you're walking and you can talk without like completely being out of breath, this is kind of that zone 2 area. You know, we're talking, 2.5 to 3 hours a week. You know, that's an hour 3 times a week. AG1, I don't know if you're familiar with that. Any sort of the green powdery drinks that are just fortified with fruits and vegetables, this sort of thing. Our food supply is so ridiculously destroyed that we literally need to supplement nutrition. And the sermon is not brought to you by AG1, though I like AG1, but you can use any of them that you want. It's just a step in this process. All right, number 4, watch the sunset at night. And there's a natural thing in your brain that says, oh, the sun's going down, it's time to sleep. It just naturally does that. But yet, what do? We flip on the TV, flip on the screen, which is full of light, which just annuls all of that. So eliminate nighttime light from your phones or from your TV. You can sit in a nice dark room, a dimmed room. But before that, watching that sunset, and especially as a habit, if you watch the sunset, it literally clicks your brain, oh, it's time to go to sleep. View the morning sun. If you can get 20 minutes of early morning sun exposure, it does the opposite. It tells your brain, hey, time to wake up. And it's amazing because I've implemented all these things and seen instant kind of effects throughout my day. No sunglasses while you're getting that morning sun. If you have to look through a window, get as much as you possibly can. But if you can go outside in the early, early morning, hey, you're supposed to be walking in the morning, right? So now you're walking in the morning, getting early sun, and using your Bible memory. You're tripled up now. So it's not like each of these things take a long time because you can stack them on top of each other. There's this thing when it comes to breathing. We sit so much that we slouch that we have these really tiny little shallow breaths. So there's a kind of a system here or whatever. I don't know if system's the wrong word, but it's simply 2 breaths in and 1 out, like this. And in fact, let's all try that. You ready? Let's exhale, inhale twice, and we're going to exhale once. You ready? In, out. Okay, now you know how to do it. Just doing that is kind of amazing, really, because it sends oxygen to your brain. Because when you're sitting and you're breathing really shallowly, you're not getting oxygen to your brain. So you're not thinking as clearly. Or if you have an immediate adrenaline dump for some reason, for something, you know, doing that calms your nerves, calms the adrenaline. Here's a good one. Number 7, delay your caffeine for 1 to 2 hours after you wake up. Now, there's a lot of physiological reasons for that. And it has to do with dopamine and how early you onset the amount of dopamine in your brain. But just delaying your coffee for 1 to 2 hours, literally you'll have twice as much energy. That's my numbers, not real numbers. You'll have more energy throughout the day and less of a need for coffee. Whereas if you first wake up and you're like slamming coffee, you kind of spike your dopamine in a way which causes you for the rest of the day to constantly be trying to get it to spike back up to the level that you lay down first thing in the morning. So this goes along also too with your phone. Don't look at your phone for 1 to 2 hours after waking up. And I mean, you can look at the clock but put it away, but when you're scrolling, that's not what you want to do for 1 to 2 hours after you wake up. Number 8. Electrolytes. Boy, I have recently been turned on to these in the last couple of months and have been quite amazed. One brand that I like is called Light Show, L-Y-T-E, Show. There's a really popular one called Element, L-M-N-T. But really, there's lots of good videos on where to get electrolytes, how to even make your own electrolytes. My soul winning was literally transformed from simply adding electrolytes to my water. Have you ever been out there and it's just 1,000,000,000 degrees and you start getting foggy brain? You ever had that and you're like, Romans 5, you know, you forget where you're going? That's because you're low on electrolytes. When you sweat and you got those rings of salt, those are the electrolytes leaving your body. You need to put those back into your body, right? That's where we have the Gatorade, and that's fine, but Gatorade has sugar and dye and everything else, which is okay. It's better than nothing, but you don't want to just drink straight water. Trust me. Try them. It's inexpensive, and I've really been surprised at what I've seen from this. Okay, 9, heat exposure. If you can get 20 minutes of heat exposure 3 times a week. Well, we just talked about cold exposure. So, cold, you ready? Watch this. Hot. Very easy to switch between cold and hot. It's that easy. Number 10, when you're at work, breaking things up into 90 to 120 minute blocks and then taking a break and stepping away from your work, maybe walk or pace or, you know, whatever, this type of thing, this is a really good way to focus for that short period of time, and you'll get more done than trying to like bang out an 8-hour session. And especially if you've got a lot of work to do, you'll find that when you work in these short blocks and then take a break, your productivity goes up. Again, stretching, how does stretching relate to the brain? Well, there's a brain-body connection where stretching just helps your brain. And again, I can't really get into the specifics of it, and finally, sleep. Don't underestimate sleep. Sleep in a cold room for 8 hours. Now, if you go to bed at midnight and your alarm goes off at 8, that's not sleeping for 8 hours. That's maybe like 6.5 hours of sleep, which means you probably want to block like an 8.5 or a 9-hour block in order to get only 8 hours of sleep. And you'll find as you do these things, you actually will start requiring a little bit less sleep, but you'll notice it throughout the day. If you're just dog tired, you need sleep. Don't underestimate sleep. What about freedom in Christ? What about freedom in Christ? All these restrictions. Well, hey, 1 Corinthians 6:12 says that all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. Yeah, you can do whatever you want, but that doesn't mean it's going to help you, and it's surely not going to help you for the long term. And I should have read this here, but it says, but I will not be brought under the power of any. See, we have this epidemic of addiction going on in our world. I don't know if you've noticed, right? Between sugar, unhealthy foods, tobacco, marijuana, internet, TV, music. Like the devil figured out how to hook into our brains via dopamine and is literally just, you know, like a dog leash moving the American people around at his will. And think about TikTok. Do you know why the videos are a certain length and why you have to swipe? Because it's specifically designed to release dopamine every time you swipe. Literally, specifically designed to do that. And it gets you addicted, which is why it's like, I wake up, oh, what are they doing? Just like this. Because the brain, just like a smoker, first thing in the morning, oh, I need my morning cigarette. It's literally the same physiological reaction. All right, so these 12 steps, right, they kind of need a whole sermon on their own. But the bottom line, okay, just because something is lawful unto you as a Christian, it doesn't mean it's going to help you. So point number two, mentally strong. Thinking on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of a good report, any virtue, anything that's praiseworthy, and mentally or physiologically, the actual brain getting good brain habits. Okay, we're still in Joshua 1, right? If we're not, go back to Joshua 1. So point number one was be strong physically. Point number two, strong mentally. As we continue on with our pep talk here from God to Joshua, we're going to look at our plan for long-term success. We're in verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. And look at this. For unto this people thou shalt divide. Point number three, we're going to use all this newfound physical strength and mental strength so we can divide. We're going to divide from wicked people. We're going to divide from ungodly things in our life. We're going to rightly divide the word. All of these take physical strength and mental strength. Now look at verse 7. We're going to continue on. Only thou be strong. I feel like I've heard this somewhere before. Verse 6, he said, be strong, right? Now he's on verse 7. Be strong. And now the Lord says, be very courageous. So don't just be physically strong and don't just be mentally strong. Be very mentally strong. Now why? That thou mayest, and we're in verse 7, observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. So we're going to be strong physically, very strong mentally. Why? So that we may observe to do. Now when we observe to do, yes, there's an initial, we're going to observe to do all that's in the Bible. But for us, I want to talk about observing other people. And what I mean, I think of 1 Corinthians 11:1, and it says, be ye followers of me, even as I am of Jesus Christ. Now think of us in the new IFB. We have got the most amazing lineup of godly men that I ever seen. I mean, let's take Pastor Steven Anderson, for example. His Bible knowledge, his preaching. How about this? How about the fact that he preaches a lot on physical health? I don't know if you ever noticed it, but hopefully you will now. I mean, he literally has multiple whole sermons on the topic besides the fact that he mentions it constantly. I mean, that is an amazing example, Pastor Steven Anderson alone. But that's just the beginning. How about our pastor, Pastor Shelley? How he finds spiritual pictures in things and significances and the mental strength that he's accrued from the persecution that we've gone through. Do you have someone else you can ask about that? There's not that many people in the world that you can even ask about that. How about Pastor Roger Jimenez? He makes the Bible applicable and he has a knack for organization and it comes out in his sermons. How about Pastor Bruce Mejia? His deep brotherhood and love and the family atmosphere that First Works has, that didn't happen on its own. That happened from a man of God observing to do all. How about Pastor Jason Robinson? His low-key kind of the way that he speaks is low key. But what I love about that is he's literally ripping your face off with a smile on his face. And I love that about him. I love that. In fact, when people complain that pastors yell, I say, oh, well, here's Pastor Robinson. Listen to him. And they're just like, I don't know what to say because he just said the same thing, but he said it with a smile. How about Pastor Aaron Thompson? You know, he makes the complex simple and he has a zeal for church planting. How about Pastor Joe Jones? His pleasant personality and his hard-hitting linguistics, you know, those things cut like a knife. I love the sermon titles alone. How about Pastor David Berzins? He opens up the scripture in a new way unto me, the way that he sees things. I really like it. Pastor Jared Przonski, he puts his heart into every sermon, at least the ones that I have heard from him. Or going across the pond to Pastor Kevin Sepulveda from Australia. He's got that Australian look on things, and it's totally different because he's not from America. So he doesn't even have, he has like a different perspective on things. Not to mention Brother Dylan Oz, Brother Ben Naim, Brother Ian Taverner from the UK. How about Brother Matthew Stuckey? How about Deacon Corbin Russell or Brother Chris Segura, not to mention the countless other men that stand up regularly proclaiming the word of God. I mean, let's look at the commonalities. They're all strong physically. They're all strong mentally. They can all rightly divide the word. They all observe and do all that is in the Bible. I mean, come on, what else could you want as far as Christianity goes? Well, how about long-term success? Well, we've got some fantastic examples to follow in that regard. So what's our plan for long-term success so far? One, physical strength. Number two, mental strength. Number three, appropriately and rightly dividing from people or from wicked things and also the word. And number four, we're going to observe and do all. Now point four in our plan for long-term success, remember we're looking at this this pep talk from God to Joshua. What are we going to do with all this strength and all these skills that we have required? Look at verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why, you say? That thou mayest observe to do, feel like I've heard that before too, according to all that is written therein. For then, that is, you did all those other things first. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. And once you have done all of that, and then thou shalt have good success. Now this particular word, success, is only found one time in the entire Bible. You know that? And this is it. And it's kind of in this success sandwich with strength, physical strength, mental strength. It kind of surrounds success. All of that that we've talked about so far, just to get to success. Now turn to 2 Samuel 23. We have this interesting parallel passage to this passage that we're reading. I don't know if it's really a parallel passage, but I found a lot of commonalities. Again, you're going to 2 Samuel 23. But the parallel passage that I kind of, it's not really a parallel passage, but kind of along these lines, is Psalms chapter 1. You're going to 2 Samuel. I'm going to read this for you. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Sounds like he's dividing. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law does he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Sounds like success. It's a synonym. Sorry, Florida Band. There are synonyms. 2 Samuel 23. I'm glad you got that, Ben. Thank you for that courtesy laugh. I appreciate that. We're in 2 Samuel 23. Look at verse 9. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Aholahite, one of the three mighty men of David. Okay, so he's a very successful person. He's one of the top three mighty men, right? He's strong. He's successful. When they, let's continue on. When they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. Now, verse 10. He arose, and he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to the spoil. I bring this verse up at this time specifically because we need to use our strength to cleave unto this Bible. Yeah. And as we said earlier, everything in this world is trying literally to rip this out of your hand. And yeah, I'm kind of mixing metaphors here, but we need to be very strong to cleave unto this Bible. Proverbs 24:10 says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." Well, look, your day of adversity is coming. I don't know when it is, but we all are going to have them, and you're going to need strength. What's the point of going through all this just for when you're 60, 50, 40, your back goes out, your hips goes out, you can't walk, and you can't go to church? I mean, that would just be a travesty to have to be internet only because you were too lazy to work out your body. And yeah, it would be your own fault. And yeah, it would be a punishment from the Lord in some way. But let's avoid that, right? It's going to happen eventually, probably anyway. Let's push that off. Let's have our long-term success strong physically, strong mentally, dividing correctly, observing and doing, following the examples. Why? All so we can be strong spiritually. Isaiah 35:3 says, "Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees." Revelation 3:2 says, "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain." Look, wherever you are on the scale of your fitness, cool, just start adding small things in there. Literally a walk for 15 minutes, moving more, sitting down, dance. When you're in the kitchen, look at this. You can lean against your kitchen counter and do push-ups like this. I do it all the time. It's not weird. You can do one. Look at this. One hand, Mom. Look at this. You can do just little things to move. Strengthen that which remains. Daniel 11:32 says, "As such as do wickedly against the covenant, shall he corrupt by flatteries." But listen to this. "But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." Look, as Baptists, we serve a strong God. And as his followers, we should reflect that strength that he has. Physical strength, yes, mental strength, but spiritual strength. Grip onto this Bible and meditate on it day and night. Talk about it. Think about it. Study it. Talk about it with other people. Having your mind wrapped around this keeps it sharp. Hey, whatever things are true, just, you want to just describe the Bible anymore? That whole list of Philippians describes the Bible. This is, in the old days, this was where people learned to read, was the Bible. We've moved so far away from that. We need to reflect God's strength in our own lives. And really, it's kind of a scar on us or a mark or whatever when you see folks that just refuse to even talk about that subject. And I get it's a touchy subject. We're all in process and we're in some area of this that I'm talking about tonight. And I love that at some point I've kind of had conversations with different people about this topic, and lots of people are in different areas in regard to this. So I'm not coming down on anyone, but I'm encouraging everyone. We need to think about our physical bodies, not as much as our spirit, but let's just, for lack of term, let's just think about it as much as we do our spiritual life. Now, it's obviously not as much. It's obviously not as important. But don't let that reduce it down to where you're never thinking about your physical body at all. Next thing you know, it's going to give out on you. And especially if you have pain now, look, every decade older that you get, your pain increases by 50% and your muscles decrease by 25%, just naturally. So you're literally just trying to fight against the system or against your own death of your body just to kind of get a little bit more out of it, right? Just to kind of work that thing so you can be successful now, but really you can be successful later. You can close your Bibles if you want and just listen to this, but think about this. Who's the strongest guy that ever lived in the whole history of mankind? And whenever a preacher asks that, whatever the question is, the answer is always Jesus. So I'll tell you. I submit to you today that Jesus is the strongest physically, mentally, and spiritually who ever lived. You ever seen that statue of Atlas, the guy with the world on his shoulders? You know, they model that after the reality of Christ. Why? Because he bore the weight of the sin of the world on him. Like, Jesus is literally the master of progressive overload. You ever seen those strongman competitions and they're moving various objects or whatever? You ever seen how those guys train? A lot of times what they'll do is, let's say they're doing like a squat. They'll have guys on either side and they'll put a weight on and then they'll do a rep and then they'll say, more! And then the guys will throw a weight on there real quick and then they'll do another rep. And he says, more! And he puts another one on, right? I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but it's a way for them to progressively increase the weight without them having to stop, put the weights on themselves. They can just continually add more and more and more weight. And it's quite amazing to watch when they get into the really heavy weights. I mean, people are, you know, lifting 1,000 pounds and stuff. It's quite mind-boggling. But, you know, we have this very type of situation in the Bible, the thing I'm kind of describing to you there. You know, Jesus as the Word, think about it, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And before the foundation of the world, Jesus said, yep, I'll go to earth and be the Savior of mankind. Cool. But that's not enough. He said, I need to do more. So Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, still not enough. He says he wants to do more. So he came to the earth, born of a virgin, and he lived a perfect life and was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So much so he resisted even unto blood, all the while saying, give me more. He survived that cruel trial of mockings, and before Pontius Pilate, he witnessed a good confession, the whole time thinking to himself, I can take it, give me more. So what'd they do? They scourged him, they whipped him, they spit on him, they beat him, they ripped out his beard, they put a crown of thorns on his head, and then beat it into place with a rod. And his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of man, all the while he's saying, give me more. And then, then they made him carry his own cross up the hill. The very cross that you and I deserve, he carried that up the hill. And when led to be crucified, he just said, give me more. And as they stretched out his hands, right, and pounded that nail into his hands, aligned his feet, and pierced his flesh, he screams, more! He can take more! And as the people railed on him, the very people that he came to save railed on him, and in fact, the thieves on either side of him, cursing at him, taunting him, whatever they were doing, he said, more. Give me more. And in this final act of love on the earth, through all the shouting of the crowd and everything that was going on, one of those thieves had a change of heart. And in this little act of faith, he simply called upon the name of the Lord, and he asked him, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And through his, you know, his bloody, beaten face hanging on the cross, I picture him like kind of looking up at him and with almost even a smile, dare I say, on his face, saying, today, you will be with me in paradise. Angels rejoicing, right? The chorus in heaven over a sinner that repented. And Jesus, oh, by the way, he says, give me more. And then he was separated from the Father, and he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And he closed his eyes, and he gave up the ghost, and he descended into hell for 3 days and 3 nights, suffering an eternity of punishment, the punishment that you and I deserve. But there was no more cry for more. Why? Because there was no more weight to be added onto him. The entire weight of the sins of the world have been placed upon him. And yet this whole time, it pleased the Father to bruise him. And the father, I imagine this, he leans in, and I can imagine him with his son in hell burning, and he says, "Son, I need you to push. I need you to lift. I need you to rise." And finally, sweet Sunday morning, finally, Jesus did the single greatest feat of strength in all of human history, and he did a literal deadlift out of hell, rising to heaven, and in perfect form returned from where the story began. And there he waits. But that's not the end of the story, because one day he's going to return. And with all the strength, and with fire in his eyes, and with a sword in his mouth, and a rod in his hand, he will reign. And 1 Corinthians 15 tells us, "For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet." Listen to this. "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Well, we see it in Revelation 20. We read that one day death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. And that last enemy is done. And brothers and sisters, what a day that will be. But where will you be when that day happens? Will you be watching it from heaven, or will you be experiencing it from hell? Yes, we fight against our flesh. We fight against the tiny hats, the filthy reprobates, the entire world system, but we also fight against death itself. And the point of this sermon is to try and win a little bit back from death. Eke out a little bit more time, maybe only one decade, but it's all to get souls saved. It's all to get more rewards, and it's all for the glory of God that we do that. What's our plan for long-term success? One, be strong physically. Be strong mentally. Divide appropriately. Observe and do all. Keep a strong grip on the King James Bible. Think about it. Speak it. Then we will be prosperous. And then, looking back on our lives, we can truly say that I was as strong at 85 as I was at 40. And then finally, then we can truly say that I am a success. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word and showing us how that we can be successful, the sinners that we are, Lord. And thank you so much for your grace and your mercy. Lord, I just pray that you would give us the strength to try and be strong, Lord. Help us to keep our bodies in a way that would be honoring to you, Lord. In a way that would allow us to serve you more now and to serve you for a longer period of time, Lord, so that we could do that for your honor and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right. Thank you, Brother Jimmy, for preaching a sermon specifically about me. All right. Let's see. All right, we're doing song number 113. 113. Wonderful Peace. 113. Thank you. everybody, for coming. You are dismissed.